So I realize that I am still stuck a little bit back in Africa. Because time is not really an issue. But I know it is here. So can I give you this freedom? Okay? I can either kind of cut what I'm going to say short, or I can give you the freedom that if you have someplace you need to be, it's okay. You can go. You can leave, and I'm not going to be offended. All right? So that's how we're going to treat this. And this is going to go a little longer. But if you need to go, amen. That is fine. Okay? So my trip. Now this is kind of the outer Africa, East Africa. What kind of went on? And I wanted to start this morning by what took place before I left. So each time that we, in our home, as we start to talk about whether God is opening the door for me to go on another trip like this, Raina and I begin to pray and ask God, God, is this what you're doing? Are you opening the doors? Are you not opening the doors? Because at the end of the day, it really has to be what He is doing, and I want to be a part of that. And so as we prayed about that, I came to Raina one day, and I said, I really believe that this is what God would want me to do. And she said, okay. And which is exciting, because let me say this. Traveling to Africa is not easy. Anybody's traveled there before? Yeah, to get there is not an easy trip. I don't know why, but it's not an easy trip. And when I get there, I do not sleep very good at all. Probably average about 4 hours of sleep every night is it. And maybe just about the time I go, then I get about six. And then the food isn't really, it's okay, but it's not. I can't say that I like, give me more. And it's not that it's bad, it's just, and I'm not a picky eater. I felt that God wanted me to go back again. So as I'm getting ready to go, Raina comes to me and she says this question: Why are you going? And I was like, well, because God wants me to go. And I didn't just blow that off that way. I actually began to sit with it and go, yeah, why am I going? What is the purpose? You see, when you go, you kind of get treated, when I go, my experience, you kind of get treated like a rock star. You meet at the airport, and you can't handle your bags. Once you get through the doors, they've got your bags. And from that time on until you leave, they carry your bag. And I try to play a game with it anytime I can. I pick up my own bag, and they take it off my shoulder. And then when one of the other leaders, who they usually carry his bag, starts carrying his bag, I carry mine, and they say, give me your bag. I said, well, he's carrying his. So now they got to get his bag and my bag. And then you got to sit in the front seat and of every vehicle. And when you go into a place to speak, they sit you off to the side, and they've got the water, and they got the nice chairs, and so you're really, you know. And then they think maybe I'm Billy Graham or something. I don't know, but they just really esteem you. And so when the question is asked, why are you going? The challenge becomes, am I going because it helps my ego? That these people, they want me there. They, you know, before you even leave, they tell you, when are you coming back? You're coming back next week, right? So they have this part. So I honestly took that question and I began to say, why am I going? And then I could honestly say, you know what, God, there's part of me that, yeah, I do like that. I do like the attention. And so now I have to be careful. as I go, because there's something to that. And then I was reading, about 2 days before I left, I was reading in Psalms, as I'm starting to go back through Psalms and read a psalm per day, and I read this, and it's Psalm 3, verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can look at it. And this is David. This is David the warrior. This is David, the one who they sang the song, you know, Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. I mean, here's a guy that he is, he probably when he wrote this, he was king, but he was a king warrior. He had a bunch of success. People were saying all kinds of great things about him. And this is what he says. Verse 3, Psalm 3. But you, O Lord, are my shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. And that part in there that said, my glory, just stuck out to me. And it started to just get in my head. And I began to go, yeah, why am I going? Now that question is just stuck in my head. Why am I going? Is it for my glory, or is it for his glory? And I was thinking, here's David, and he is saying that this is not about me. God's shield is around me and his glory. Look at his glory. Don't look at me, but look at his glory. In this psalm, David is wondering about the enemy that is around him, and he wants that burden let loose. Here is a king, here is a warrior, here is a good strategist when it comes to fighting, and he is waiting on God because he wants God to get the glory. He's not going to move unless God says move. Even though he probably has the ability to do it, he doesn't do it. And that just, it just stuck with me as I went into Africa, and it's like, why am I going? Why am I here? So that was that was the first thing. And then the Sunday before I was leaving, Barry, you and I are talking, and we're talking about my trip, and I told him that I was struggling with the messages that I was going to preach, and he could pray for me, and it just seemed, Barry, you just, something inside of you happened, and you looked at me, and I think you said to me, Scott, you're going to receive more than you give. Is that kind of what you said to me? And then he walked away. And so that was sticking in my head, going, what is that all about? And I even emailed him, and I said, Barry, that was, you know, that was amazing. I really felt that God was speaking to you. And I think you said something to me like, yeah, I kind of felt like this is what God wanted me to say. And there you go. He was surprised. And that was just a confirmation that God had given him a word for me of going into this. And it was actually very huge. So I'll get to it, but I'll give you a picture here, okay? You're tired of looking at this. So this is my first meeting. I get there, and actually, I get there on a Thursday, and I'm exhausted. I've been traveling for like 40 hours. I'm exhausted. I get to the hotel, and the guy that's with me, Apostle John, he says to me, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 6 in the morning. Okay. And he says, you're going to speak to the pastors. Great. Okay, I'm ready. And so I go back to my hotel room, and I had missed that little memo that Friday. I knew I was doing a Friday, but I thought it was the last Friday, but it wasn't. It was this Friday. And so now I'm going, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I met, and here was a group of pastors and leaders that we met with. And God did. He provided. Actually, I used this part here of whose glory. Whose glory are you leading with? Are you leading out of your glory, or are you leading for His glory? And in this part of where I was in Uganda, it actually was a very important word for me to hear, because they really have this part of of hierarchy and where your position is pretty important. Your title is pretty important to you. And so I felt like it was a word that I could give to them. So that was the first, that was number one of 27 times that I spoke in 12 days. And I went last time and I shared the speaking, so this time it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to put as much in there as I can. And about day eight, I realized that I probably should have had a day off. Oh wait, I do have a day off, I'm traveling. That's my day off, traveling. And so that was pretty wild. So that was that day, Friday, that was my first of three times that I spoke on the Friday, and it pretty much didn't quit after that. Okay, I got to tell you this story. So these are I brought these shoes with me. I hadn't worn these shoes in about 4 years. And that was my first meeting back at this church. And I step out of the vehicle, and it's like, ooh, something's happening. I didn't even think about it, but my shoes were literally falling apart. They were literally falling to pieces. I had not worn them. And so I'm trying to walk carefully now so I'm not leaving rubber wherever I go. And so I get back to the hotel, and a very good friend of mine, Pastor John Agaba, and I'll talk about him in a moment, a little bit here, because I don't, let me see. Oh. So with John Agaba, I told him about my shoes. And he goes, oh, what size are you? And his wife sells shoes. And I said, I'll come by and buy a pair of shoes. I said, if she has something around, you know, size 9, 42s, that would be great. I go back to my hotel room, and he brings me these shoes. So he goes, here. And these are nice shoes. They are so nice. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him and why it's even more special. So wherever you went, you got a bunch of kids that are around you, and boy, do I stick out. It is not like, you do not have to go, where is Waldo? You know where Waldo is. So you're met with delight, you're met with praise, you're met with singing. I got to go to a school, and these kids had a song to sing to me and to bless me. And so here I am, and I'll just share just a little clip here with you. Enjoy your blessings. Gotta look at that little girl. May I enjoy my blessings. Problems no ending. The King music. Oh, winter, but then I know Italian. Got my money, keep me balancing. Little things in me, my party, my old day. Blessings been follow me. My God, my everyday. Isn't that great? And they are, man, if I told them, I said, there's two things I could never be a pastor here in Uganda. And the two reasons why I could never be a pastor is that there are two requirements that I do not meet. One is that every pastor can lead singing. Like every pastor can lead out in a song. I can't do that. You don't want me to do that. And they dance. Every pastor can dance. So I just found my heart being warmed. Now, at this school that I went to, I walked around with the pastor who has this school. And as I walked around and he was showing me his school, at one point we stop and I get the ask. And the ask is, my school is in need. And I need somebody to help continue to build it, and I don't have the funds. Can you go back to Canada and can you find somebody to help me do this? And if this was one ask, then you might go, yeah, but this is one of a multitude of asks that come. And as it had been explained to me by a Ugandan, he says, Scott, you are seen as the goose that lays the golden egg. And you're going to get lots of requests. And so my heart begins to feel kind of burdened by all the need. I mean, there's constant need around you. There is hunger. There is poverty that is just racked there. And they're doing the best they can. And I told him that as much as I would like to be able to say I will help you, that's not what I've been asked to do. I'm asked to come and to teach and preach the gospel. And that is what I will do. And it's hard to be able to say, I can't do this. I can't go back and champion your cause there. But this is a group of kids. Again, where's Waldo? Not hard to find him there at all. So as the days went on, every day from the Friday until I left on the Saturday for 8 days, I preached a minimum of 2 days, sometimes 3 days. And God did. He sustained me. And I realized that I was going around, people were following. And so I had people that were there at the very first one. And I felt something in my heart that says, well, don't feed them the same thing, feed them something different. So I'm going back to my room, and I am looking to see, what else God has for me. And I was amazed at times where I opened up the Word, and there would be something God would put on my heart and a message He would give me that I would be able to preach. And they would say to me, I can't believe it, you preached something different. And I said, I can't believe it either. And God just continued to sustain me along the way, and I was very grateful. So this fellow here, when I got to this church, the power was out, and for whatever reason in East Africa, the music has to be extremely loud, and there's no bass, not much bass. And it's really loud. All the mics are turned up. All the piano is turned up. Everything is turned up to its highest volume. And then they sing. And it is loud. For me, it's uncomfortable. But I got here, and the power was out. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Inside. Totally inside. And they were up there, and they were keeping a beat, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and I could hear everybody singing, and my heart was just soaring, and then they got a generator, and it changed. But, man, these people just know how to worship God in a way that's different than us. It's not that that's what we should do, but it is different. And if you've been there, you know, right? You just know, and it warmed my heart. This church here, a young pastor, 32 years old, was pastoring the church. And I got done speaking, and he came up to me with some oil and kneeled before me, and he says, will you anoint me, and will you pray over me? And I said, yes. And as I did, and then he stood, and actually he didn't stand, he was down on his knees, and I got down on my knees, and I just looked at him, and I said, Leo, the word I have for you is do not chase the big church. Do not chase the big church. Because for them, they don't feel they're successful unless they have a lot of people in their church. If they can grow their church so that they have a great big building and they have a school and they have an orphanage and they're international, which means that they have multiple churches around Uganda and maybe East Africa. And it's not that that's not what God would not be doing, but if you're chasing it, you're going to go astray. And so it comes back to whose glory is it? Why are you doing this? Why are you going? And so it was just a real honor. And he came up to me afterwards, and a couple days later, and he says, thank you for that word. I needed it. And I thank the Lord for that. So, John Agaba. John and his wife, Jessica, this is her shoe shop. And what is interesting is that every Ugandan has their Ugandan name. They're given their Ugandan name before they're given their Western name. And so John Agaba, anybody know what Agaba means? No? No. Giving. John giving. And so it's not a wonder that he gave me these shoes, because that's who he is. And so before I went, I was given some money, and they said, you choose how you want to distribute that. And so they gave me these shoes. John and Jessica gave me these shoes. And I felt like God is saying, I think you can do something here. They are extremely big givers. They have a family of four children, and now they've added 8 other children into their family. So they have 12 children. Some of them, they have a mom or dad, but mom and dad can't take care of them. And so they brought them into their home, and they're living there in their home, because John Agaba is John the giver, and he will give everything for you. So I had a meal with them, and I sat down with John and Jessica, and I said to them, I said, Jessica, how many pairs of shoes do you have in your shop? And she goes, 80. And I said, do you think I can buy all 80 pairs of your shoes? And I laid down money on the table. I said, will this purchase all your shoes? She goes, yeah. I said, great. I said, now I want you to take all the shoes that I purchased, and I want you to resell them and keep the money. And for them, it means that they can have something that will help them sustain themselves. And so she went out and she doubled her stock in her shoe shop. And she bought some socks, and now she's more marketable, which is going to pay it forward for them as a couple. I have more to share about John that's not good news, but we'll get there a little bit later. So when I left, the leaders came up in the last church I was at. The leaders came up, and I prayed over them. And then they had to gather around me, where's Waldo, and they prayed over me. And man, it was so powerful. They didn't quit, and they all pray at once. At once. Do you guys do that in your church? You all pray at once? Yeah, we're way too conservative here. We're Baptist. And they are praying at once, and they're just, I don't know what they're saying, but I just received what they were saying. It was very, very powerful. So I got to tell you one story about this church. So everywhere I went in the Guyana church, we had the offering baskets. And so when you give, I told them, I said, we don't actually take an offering like you. They, what? How does it work? And I said, well, it does. But that's just us. But they had these offering. And so every time we met, people gave. And I had given money so that all the expenses were supposed to be paid for. And I found out that the money I had given was not going for the expenses that I was incurring at these churches. And I became very discouraged and very disheartened. I had trusted somebody, and I felt that they had betrayed my trust. Now, the person that I'd given the money to, it wasn't like they went out and bought a new cell phone. It wasn't like they went out and bought a new pair of shoes. I guarantee that they've used that money because they themselves have 18 children that they're looking after and putting in school. And more than likely, that money went to help fund just keeping food on the table and keeping their kids in school. Because you have to pay for every day of their kids are in school, you have to pay for it. There's nothing free there. But I was disappointed. And so at this meeting that we were at, I told John Agaba, it was his church, and I said, John, I said, is it all right if we don't take an offering today? I will pay for whatever expenses. Here you go. Here's the money. No offering. He says, yeah, I think we can do that. So there's a little bit of controversy because although we're in John's church, he's part of a group of churches, and the group of churches who's leading the churches may not be happy that we're not taking an offering. But I said, John, I'll take care of it. I think I know how I'm going to do this. So I preached a message, and in the message, I talked about God's generosity, how God is generous to us, and now all we need to do is redistribute God's generosity. And we talked about that, how we should love one another and how we should forgive one another. And I did all that. And I said, so this is what we're going to do today. I said, I know you came prepared to give. Every single one of you came prepared to give. And so I'm going to say to you today, you're not giving. I said, you're not going to give an offering. And it was kind of silent. And I said, do you understand that? You are not going to give any money today. And then they all started clapping. I said, I've taken care of it. So any expenses that Donna Gabba has occurred, I've taken care of it. So don't worry about giving. I said, but this is what I want you to do. I said, you came ready to give. So now I encourage you to take what you're going to give here and give it to somebody else. Find that person who is your enemy and maybe give it to them. Look to somebody who you need to forgive and give it to them. Give it to somebody as God directs. So I sit down, and then the lead guy gets up and he says, okay, this is what, you know, you heard Pastor Scott, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody next to you, and that's your neighbor. And I want you to take out the money you were going to give, and I want you to give it to them. And make sure you give the biggest bill in your pocket. And then we're going to take an offering. And I'm going, oh. I literally went like this. And I'm going, I don't want to interfere. This isn't my rodeo. But this isn't what I asked. And so one of the other guys, he saw this. And he goes, Pastor Scott, are you okay? And I said, actually, no. This isn't going well. This is not, he's not doing what I said. Well, you go talk to him. I said, no. He goes, I'm going. And he grabs me by the arm and he pulls me up on stage. And he whispers something in his ear. And he goes, oh, you explain it. So I explained what I wanted them to do. And I guess they went out and did it. I don't know. But it was just a joy to see on their faces that they could do something different and what God would do in their midst. So I am actually at a pretty low spot because of these funds that are not being directed the way that they were supposed to, and pastors who don't have a lot are paying for their water and they're paying for their lights. And so I ended up connecting with a man. His name is Michael, and I'll show you a picture a little bit later, Michael. And Michael, I connected with Michael because of Greg and Montana. Now, Greg and Montana have been coming to church for, I don't know, a month or so. But before that, Steve, you started coming, and I didn't know them until I met Steve, and Steve introduced me to his son, Greg and Montana. And Greg and Montana have a ministry in Uganda. Crazy to think that we had this connection. And so I said to them, I said, listen, I'm going to Uganda. If you want to give me a suitcase, I'll take a suitcase with me. And just connect with Michael and I'll give it to Michael. And so Michael and I connected. I gave him a suitcase. And then I sat down and I started talking to Michael. And because Michael had nothing to do with what I was doing, I poured out my heart to him. And this is where I began to receive. God had this man who I had no idea I was going to meet there for him to give to me words of encouragement and direction and help. And it was just, I was overwhelmed. We spent 5 hours together that first time, just talking, him telling his life story, me pouring out my sorrows and my woes about how things weren't going the way that I thought they should. And he listened and he gave me advice, and I was just receiving from the Lord. It was so beautiful. And again, God says, why are you there? Why are you going? Whose glory is it? It's his glory. It's his glory. So I left there, and I will speed things up. I then ended up in Kenya with a fantastic group of pastors and leaders. And we spent Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They found out I wasn't flying out till 2 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon. So they said, okay, we'll have morning meetings, okay? We'll do morning meetings. two. We can do two, right? Sure, we can do two. So we squeezed in as many as we could. We had, what was it, seven meetings. I had seven meetings in 3 days with them. But just a lovely group of people who just passionately love Jesus and are working together in that part of the world. And so this is a group of teens that they sang this song of worship. So much singing took place. Man, these people just, when you give an opportunity for them to come forward to be prayed over, they just pour forward. There's nothing that holds them back. They don't let pride, they don't let worry of what people think. They just pour forward and just seek God and cry out to Him. And just a real privilege to be able to pray over them as individuals. This is them, and this is them saying hello. They said, "We want you to say hello for us to your church." So this is a church in Kenya saying hello to you here in Ocean View. So hello, you can wave back. Yeah. Men sit on one side, women sit on the other. That's the way they do it there. But they're a wonderful group of people. All right, my last thing is my time with Michael, because that'll lead me to my last part. But I had a privilege to be able to see what Greg and Montana are doing there. And this is a church that they gave some money to the pastor. And so this is Pastor Chris and his wife in the red. And I'm talking to them. And the lady in the green, her name is Olivia? Yeah. So Olivia has been staying in the church, this church. She actually was staying there before there was any walls in a swampy area, but the pastor just said, yes, stay here. And so she is staying there. I think it's hard maybe to see, but way back there in the back, right there, is her mat and her mosquito net. And her child was there. One of her children were there, staying there. And the pastor just opened his arms up. Here's the amazing thing I found about this pastor. Is this pastor was an electrician. To be an electrician in Uganda would mean that you'd actually make a lot of money. And God called him to be a pastor. And he resisted. And he struggled to say yes because he knew the implications of it. And he said, then I resisted, and then I lost my job. I could resist no more. He could have gone and found another job as an electrician, but he didn't. One of the poorest occupations you can have there is a pastor. And yet this is what he is doing. So I also had the privilege of being able to go to a home that their ministry supports. And this is the way to it. So this is the path we had to walk. And then this was just outside their front door, right here. And this is the family. And they are in something, I don't know, it's not very big. Like we're talking probably 10 feet by 15 feet. All seven of them are there. And they're struggling. But those kids are in school. And Michael, so this is Michael right here. Michael said when he first met them, the kids wouldn't look at him. They wouldn't talk to him. And we went this time, they looked at him. They gave us their names in English. And it was just really neat to see the progression that is taking place in their life. Michael is an incredible man of integrity. He has lost several jobs because he will not give in to asking for bribes, lying, stealing. Each time he's asked to, he says no, and each time he gets fired. And um, And so his name, his Ugandan name, means strong. And I told him, you are a man who is strong in the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Michael was a true blessing to me in so, so many ways. So let me end you with this. This is John and this is Jessica. This is our night that I was able to give them some money to buy more shoes. And so we had to take a picture and we were all smiles. I got a text from his wife and John has been arrested. He was arrested on Monday. In February, he got a call from somebody in the community needing help. And John, being John the giver, said, sure, I'll help you. Come over to my house and I'll give you help. And so he went over to the house and he gave her some money. She went back to her place and she was beaten. She was found, she was taken to the hospital, but then she died. And as they began to investigate, because John's phone number was the last number that she used in contacting, they have now accused him of murdering her. And my good friend John is in prison. And I don't know if there's even a good solution to it. They're asking for lots of money to, basically it's a bribe. If you give this amount of money, then we'll let you out. But there's no guarantee they'll let him out. It'll probably go to the judge. It'll go to the lawyers and the family that lost the mother will probably get very little. And so I ask that you would pray. You'd pray for John the giver, John Agaba, and his wife Jessica, that God would intervene, that God would do a miracle, that God would open prison doors and set this man free. It is hard to find men like John and Michael in Uganda, and they are two very, very special men. When I gave John the money to for the time that I was there, he went out and he spent the money. And then he texted me and he says, Pastor Scott, I got 20,000 shillings left. I want to give that back to you. That does not happen. This man has a good heart for Jesus. Did I receive more than I gave? I think I did. And people say, are you going back? I said, I don't know. Travel is not good. Sleep is not good. The food is like, eh. But the shoes are pretty good. And the people, though, the people are in my heart. And I thank God for that. All right, I have shared enough. We've gone long enough. Let me close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you. God, that you call us and you choose to use us for your glory. Lord, that we would ask ourselves our own question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it for your glory? Is it for your purpose? Lord, I pray for what is to come for us as a church, that our hearts will reflect your heart, and our passions will reflect your passion, and our lives would be used for your glory, for yours is a kingdom, and yours is a glory. And so we pray, God, your will be done here in this church, as it is in heaven. And God, I pray for my friend, John. Lord, you know the truth. And I pray the truth will come out. Lord, I pray that he will not be kept in prison. I pray that you will give the supply he needs to overcome this. I pray for his wife who is devastated and the 12 children they have in their family. That, Father, they will hold on to you, for you are their hope. thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.